And those Gospels, furthermore, are told from the perspective of the resurrection. In other words, they are not neutral accounts. They are far from eyewitness accounts. They are rather religious witnesses and interpretations which seek to communicate the convictions of the Christian community and are written from the perspective of belief in the fact that Jesus is now the risen Lord, the resurrected one. In other words, the earliest Christian writings do not give us very good historical sources in order to present a reconstruction of Jesus as a purely historical figure. These difficulties are formidable and are difficult to overcome. That's why the attempts to recover the so-called historical Jesus are so problematic. Nevertheless, with great care, we are able to say some things about Jesus that are historically highly probable. First, his characteristic speech and action identifies him as a prophetic figure within the symbolic world of Torah. Jesus is very much a figure within Judaism, whose speech and actions are best understood as somebody who thinks as a Jew would think in that era. He appears in these narratives as the sort of prophetic figure that we know of in the Old Testament from the figure of Elijah. He is a wandering figure. He is a wonder-working figure, rather than somebody who occupies a specific space, as did Muhammad standing on his stump in the backyard delivering messages from Allah. Jesus' proclamation, his most distinctive character is proclamation, was of the rule of God, the kingdom of God. And that this rule of God was now imminent. So there's a certain urgency to his proclamation, bearing within it a call to repentance, that is, like the other prophets in Israel, calling people back to a renewed commitment to this God by an internal transformation and a change of their behavior. So he had a particular urgency. The time is now. The time has come to completion. Repent and believe in the good news. His proclamation also had a distinctive appeal to the outcast. He did not address himself to the religious elite among the people, but rather to the outcast. Blessed are you poor, rather than you rich. And his ministry was characterized by an open table fellowship with sinners and tax collectors, people who were the outcasts among the Jewish people. Although the designations Son of Man, this very odd designation, may in fact have been used of Jesus about himself, the way we find it used in the Gospels clearly reflects later interpretation in the light of the book of Daniel, which portrays the Son of Man as a messianic and ruling figure. And even the designation Christ, Messiah, Anointed One, these designations, Son of Man, Christ, are very problematic of Jesus during his lifetime. In other words, it's not probable that anybody gave him that high status during his lifetime, even his followers. Nevertheless, Jesus speaks with a distinctive sense of authority. He interprets Torah, he interprets Scripture, the Jewish law, not as other Jewish teachers of that time did, by referring to other authorities, but simply on his own authority. You have heard it said, but I say to you. In fact, one of his most characteristic locutions is the outrageous prefacing of his remarks by the word amen. Amen, amen, I say to you. Amen is usually something that one says to somebody else in order to assent to what they say. So in other words, Jesus' sense of authority is communicated by the fact that he self-validates his speech before he even begins it. Jesus' choice of 12 followers is virtually historically certain. And it indicates that he had some sense of beginning a movement. And this movement was understood as somehow the restoration of Israel itself. since the 12 followers clearly match the symbolic figure of the 12 tribes of Israel.